9 o'clock. I'm going to call us to order. Before we get started, I'm going to ask the commissioners to identify themselves. We have one commissioner who is not able to join us this time. He may appear in a few minutes. I will start to my right, your left. Commissioner Ertz, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Valerie Ertz, a public member from Dallas.
Good morning. I'm Lucy Hebron. I'm a county judge from Wood County, Texas.
Good morning. Clifton Roberts, attorney for Smith County.
Kathy Ward, public member from Collin County. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. My name is Janice Holt. I'm vice chair of the commission. I'm a public member from Hardin County.
I'll skip myself for the moment.
Good morning. I am Fred Tate, a public member from Tarrant County, and I'm the commission secretary.
Good morning. My name is Pat McGuire. I'm a municipal judge from Kerrville, Texas.
Good morning. I'm Ron Bunch, lawyer from Waxahachie.
Good morning. Sujit Raksharam, public member, Sugar Land.
Good morning. I'm Gary Steele. I'm a district judge, 3 counties, Guadalupe, Comal, and Hayes. Thanks for being here.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Good morning. Today is Monday, October 12th, 2022. My name is David Schenck. I am a justice currently serving on the Fifth Court of Appeals of Dallas. I also serve as chair of the State Commission on Judicial Conduct. Today's proceedings are being conducted pursuant to Section 33.0055 of the Texas Government Code, which requires this commission, in even-numbered years, hold one public meeting, and I'm quoting now, to consider comment from the public regarding the commission's mission and operations. To that end, we're here today to accept public comment from those of you who've completed and submitted a witness affirmation form. With the commissioner's notice of this meeting on matters that pertain to the commission's mission and operations. As a reminder, the registration period for those wishing to speak closed at 9 a.m. and we're going to give people a few more minutes if they're arriving late. Forms received after that time may be considered at the chair's discretion. So, okay. I will now read to you the commission's mission statement. This is in bold, so it must be important for me to read. The mission of the State Commission on Judicial Conduct is to protect the public, promote public confidence in the integrity, independence, competence, and impartiality of the judiciary, and encourage judges to maintain high standards of conduct both on and off the bench. The Commission accomplishes this mission through its investigation of allegations of judicial misconduct or incapacity. In cases where a judge is found, to have engaged in misconduct or to be permanently incapacitated, the Texas Constitution authorizes the Commission to take appropriate disciplinary action up to and including issuing sanctions, censures, suspensions, or recommendations for removal from office. Please be advised that Section 33.0055 also provides that your comments are, and I'm quoting, to be considered in a manner which does not compromise the confidentiality of matters considered by the Commission, end quote. In order to satisfy this provision, we ask that you not to discuss a complaint or investigation that is or may be pending in our office or that has been dismissed or that resulted in private discipline. By law, those matters remain confidential. Likewise, please be advised that this is not a forum for filing grievances against judges or asking the commission to reconsider a particular decision relating to any complaint filed against the judge. These are specific procedures in place, or there are specific procedures in place for bringing this type of information to the commission's attention, and I would encourage you to do that. But I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm just saying we're not going to open a file here in this meeting and ask that you please follow those protocols. Remember, your testimony will be limited to 3 minutes. However, you may, and this is important, submit written testimony in addition to or in lieu of oral testimony here. Since the sole purpose of this hearing is to consider public comment, commission members and commission staff will not be responding to questions or discussing the testimony of any witness. Any comments from the commission will come through the chair. This hearing is being recorded. If you would like a copy of the recording, please submit a written request to the agency through its executive director, Jacqueline Habersham. With that, when you approach, I will call out in the order I've apparently received your witness affirmation forms, your name. I'm going to ask that you identify yourself, whether you are here on your own behalf or on behalf of a specific entity or organization. And if you have written materials that have not already been submitted, they may be submitted by mail to the State Commission on Judicial Conduct, P.O. Box 12265, Austin, Texas, 78714. 11, and that's, you may proceed. I'm not sure if that's you or me, but I'm going to take it as me.
With that,
I'm going to call our first witness, if you'd be so kind, Emily. I'm gathering you don't want me using your last name. Emily, you're from Woodway. Please share with us what you would like for 3 minutes.
I'll hold that for you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for having me and my husband. My name is Emily, and our judge was Nikki Minkowski of the 74th District Court of McLennan County. We have a video of our child telling us they were sexually assaulted in the foster home, showing us with her mouth they were taught oral sex. It was ignored by the judge. Our son was trafficked from the bench, as he was ruled out twice, never returned, and adopted to my childhood abusers. To the best of my knowledge, this is a federal crime. Upon reading the rules of an associate judge, it is to my knowledge that associate judges do not have the authority to terminate parental rights and must get the approval to do so from the magistrate. Nikki Minkowski did not get the approval from the magistrate to terminate our rights. To our knowledge, that means our rights are still intact, as they were fraudulently terminated based on hearsay. Judicial discretion does not give any judge the authority to violate the Constitution, as they swear an oath to protect and uphold it. Yet Judge West of the 19th District Court, also in McLennan County, has denied my husband his right to view the evidence against him. This is a violation of his Sixth Amendment. To my knowledge, Judge West has also violated Texas Rules of Evidentiary Procedure, which I will be happy to discuss with you after this meeting, since we only have 3 minutes to testify. I will close with this. The children who are being trafficked are the people's children. Our case, which will be brought in federal court, is a no-brainer. So it would behoove this commission to overturn the adoption and termination of our rights overturned with prejudice and our children immediately returned. Our children are not your paychecks, and we, the parents, do not co-parent with the government. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joseph Villarreal. I'd like to thank the SCJC for y'all's time. What's brought me here this morning, just like the last time that I came, I believe it was a Zoom hearing, was for the family court complaints. We got major, major, major issues across the state of Texas. There's a couple of parents here that I've had the pleasure to meet in person, court watched for them, and we have complete lack of faith in judicial procedures in our family court services. And we can look at a case of Jeff Younger, where a father who's fighting to try to protect his child from a sick mother that's trying to transition their 9-year-old son. What are we doing in our family courts? We come to y'all because y'all are the agency that we're supposed to give complaints to. And quite frankly, I don't have any faith in y'all either. It's not to be rude or disrespectful, but what are we doing in our family courts? There's nothing more than a slap on the wrist. My judge in particular is a repeat offender in Tarrant County. When was the last time that this agency's actually disbarred a judge, right? There's 5 or 6 parents here with family court matters alone. We don't have any faith in the judicial process. Family courts are a wreck. Parents' rights get violated day in and day out. Children's rights get violated day in and day out. We know what's going on in our family courts. It's children for profit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next witness will be Bill Lyle. Mr. Lyle, take your time to get into the podium.
Good morning. My name is Bill Lyle, and I'm here from Collin County.
I had a notice of a hearing from my family court judge in Collin County on June 24th of 2019, and there were about 10 different issues that she needed to call one way or the other, and they all went one way. And I thought to myself, well, you know, when something doesn't make sense, follow the money. And I left there that day frustrated, but I waited about a year until the judge was up for re-election, and I started looking back at their campaign finance reports, and come to find out that the notice of hearing was issued on June 24th. On June 30th, the judge's report showed a monetary political contribution by the opposing counsel's law firm for $2,500. Now, June 30th was 2 days before our July 2nd hearing. And I'm thinking to myself, if one of the biggest law offices in Dallas promises a maximum campaign donation to a judge in Collin County, they're probably going to make good on the donation. And so I started looking at the reports going forward to see when did the promise of money from June 30th become money in the judge's pockets. And the judge's reports show that the money that they promised 2 days before the hearing became money in the judge's campaign account on the day of the hearing, 2 days later, September, July 2nd. And I've looked at y'all's website, and I've read where it's legal for law offices to support judges. I get that. They have a right to use their money to support folks. I understand that. But I also looked at the canons that talk about the need for the judges to maintain the independence and integrity of the judiciary. And I felt like this circumstance, with the promise 2 days before and the money on the day of the hearing, surely would be enough to get this commission to issue some sort of reprimand. But I just got a letter a few weeks ago stating that there was insufficient evidence to support any problem. This undermines my belief in our judicial system. When I share this stuff with other people in society, they're like, that's a bribe. They promised it 2 days, and then they gave it to her the day of the hearing. That's a bribe. I mean, this is a reaction of people. But then when I get the reaction of this committee, and I don't know if it's y'all or the people that's under your authority here, but to say that there's no problem, my recommendation is that, you know, on your website, you post different things that allow people to see when the judge has done something wrong. But if you posted situations like this that showed the public also when they haven't done anything wrong, at least the general public would have a better idea of what's allowed and not allowed. I wouldn't have wasted my year and a half holding my breath waiting to hear back from you guys. And so I just, you know, I braved 35 to come down here today for 3 minutes. I missed a teacher-parent conference at 9 a.m. this morning. It's the first thing I've missed of my child's because it was important for me to be here to let y'all know that I'm just a dad that wants to be treated fairly. And I didn't think this was going to be emotional for me, but it is. I love my little boy, and I don't want to think that $2,500 took time from me. I would have paid the judge $2,500 if I knew I needed to. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lyle.
Thank you.
Amy Hale, please.
Good morning. Hello. My name is Amy Hale. I would like to address the issues of the corruption and organized crime that is taking place in the family court system, and especially in Tarrant County. These judges are exploiting families and covering up child abuse, witness intimidation, evidence suppression, blackmail, coercion, more than I can possibly cover in 3 minutes. My personal experience with a family court judge, my family was never allowed to testify, then brought in off the record, threatened, if they don't stop, meaning talking about the truth they have lived, the judge would have to take a child away from their mother. If that is not judicial misconduct worth addressing, what is? This is witness intimidation and a violation of our rights. We are in a real crisis here, a crisis and a war on our children and our constitutional rights, our fundamental rights as parents. I have now met too many parents with similar stories to think my case is rare. We need real judicial oversight. We need judges being held accountable. We need cameras in the courtroom. We need open courts. We must stand for what's right. If we cannot protect the most innocent members of society, if we can't stand for our people, for our families, we can't stand for the founding constitutional principles, then what is there? If a family court judge can violate all your rights with no evidence or due process and take your children away just because they don't like you, suppress evidence and threaten your family, then how are we free? How are we Americans? How are we Texans? People have no faith in the court or trust in the judiciary, and this is why. They are using our children as a source of income and exploiting protective parents and their families, draining them until they have nothing left. What kind of hearing can we have when the evidence is not shown, both sides of the story are not told, witnesses are intimidated and never allowed to testify? There can be no justice in a system like this, and this is happening to parents all over and many right here. People actually need protection from the family courts and are being threatened and in fear of retaliation. Those of us going through this now need change of court venue to get away from the retaliation, just to get a fair and just ruling. We need to get rid of immunity for judges. In fact, these people should be held to a higher standard and face higher charges, not less. If a judge violates and abuses their position, they didn't just abuse that person or that family. They have abused every person of that county that trusted them to do their job, that put their trust and faith in the judiciary system. Therefore, every time any of those attorneys, judges, or amicus attorney violates someone's right, ignores evidence, makes backroom deals, they haven't just failed the family. They failed every citizen in that area they represent and should be held accountable and should be held to a higher standard of accountability. We can do this by having cameras in the courtrooms, actual public hearings where witnesses are allowed to be in the courtroom, not closed courts. We need to make it easier for people to make complaints, not harder. And here, y'all are the oversight committee responsible for holding judges accountable, and they must be. They must be held accountable. These judges must not be immune from their criminal activity. They must be held to the highest level of standards of the law.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kyle French, and I'm here on behalf of Judge Barbara Stalder, the 280th District Judge. During the course of the last year, Judge Stalder has literally ruined my life and countless others. I'm representing others that are not here. Wendy Florence, that was wrongfully jailed for child support. She doesn't have any kids. Emmanuel Gabrielitos doesn't have any kids, jailed for child support. Barbara Stalder is an actor of official oppression as described under Texas Penal Code 39.02, Sections 1 and 2, and Sections, 3903, Sections 1 and 2 as well, abuse of official office. She is engaged in organized crime and public corruption, conspiracy. She is violating the Texas Open Courts Act to do her business behind closed doors. I have been rejected from her courtroom to view 9 times. I've had the police called on me in the hallway for simply videoing and asking to watch the Zoom protocols in the courtroom. Upon entering the courtroom, they do have cameras set up. When you enter the double doors, there's an officer that looks like he's never seen anybody before. He hurries to put his phone away. There are 2 display monitors set up, and technically they have a viewing area, but they kick you out for various reasons. They have intimidated me, called the police on me, and now I'm in litigation in retaliation from Judge Stalder. She coached opposing counsel to prosecute me, stating, "I have a feeling that Mrs. Rowland is going to file an enforcement order against you, Mr. French." Later stating, "Mrs. Rowland, I can expect those papers to be across my desk by no later than tomorrow." Her courtroom has become the printing mill for Harris County. Because I had a custody battle in another county and they went form shopping. The judge, Wesley Hinch, of Liberty County, Texas, did not believe the allegations of domestic violence. They simply used them as a silver bullet to take my child away from me. When he didn't make a ruling of family violence, they went shopping. They went to Judge Stalder. She's been reprimanded for shackling attorneys to their chairs. It's unacceptable. She has a known history and campaigned as being a domestic violence survivor. Easily found on the internet, you can find her with a sign saying the future is female. What if I told you all the past is female? What if I told you that the future is male and I excluded a whole gender? Houston attorneys banded together to blow the whistle, stating her awful temper that the court was being used to circumvent custody battles and other courtrooms. Nothing's been done. About my case, emergency temporary orders were filed almost immediately after the custody hearing original petition was filed. As soon as they didn't get that, they went form shopping. As soon as I turned in my evidence, they went form shopping. Judge Wesley Hinch ordered standard visitations after hearing evidence presented alleging family violence. Regular visitations occurred for about 6 months. I was harassed and recorded by my ex in an attempt to get a reaction. When I turned in my evidence in December 2021, opposing a counsel immediately had me served in the 280th. My ex moved from Fort Bend County to Harris County specifically to use the 280th District Court. Yes. To summarize, Judge Stalder needs to be removed immediately. She has currently 10 weeks left on the bench, and that's approximately, by my calculations, 500 to 600 cases. I have video evidence to support that I've been kicked out of her courts. She's violating the Texas Open Courts Act.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay, as I mentioned, I'm exercising discretion to allow additional people to testify. I've been a little lax on proportion of 3 minutes. I've been a little closer to proportion than would allow us to finish up. Wayne Delfino, please. Or Dolce Fino, I'm sorry.
Good enough. I'm Wayne Dolce Fino. I'm president of Dolce Fino Consulting, and I've helped a lot of these families because we investigate cases of family injustice. Look, I know this is a pro forma thing. Y'all have to do this. You're doing it. But there's a problem, folks. There's a big problem. I'm not exactly sure where it is, and I know a lot of you are public members, right? You're working within the system you have. But I've heard horror stories, especially from family courts all over the state. There are judges who should have been removed a long time ago. Barbara Stalder is a classic example. She is ruining people's lives with protective orders. It has become a forum for people who want to shop for a protective order, who come to Houston for the reason to get a protective order from Barbara Stalder. Just last week, you guys issued a public reprimand against Brittany Morris. Judge Morris should be off the bench. The whistleblower in that case, the person with all the documents, was not even interviewed by any investigator. This is becoming a joke. People are filing complaints against judges and then having to deal with those same judges. I know we don't want to make a system where you just file a complaint and you get out of court, but the other is true too. You have people in small towns all across the state who file complaints and then are stuck with the same judge. You know what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen to these people. No disrespect, but this is becoming a joke. You know, personally, I was arrested by Judge Darryl Jordan, right, for contempt. You guys dismissed my complaint. 3 weeks later, a grand jury indicted him for official oppression. Regular people, these people, but not just these people, regular people see the difference. They see what you are either refusing to see or just can't see. Appearances, people have to have faith in this system, guys. People have to have faith. And if you continue to ignore blatant allegations of improper conduct, impartiality, if you continue to ignore it, then people will lose faith. And that's not good. We have a district judge on our panel here. He doesn't want that in his court. Nobody wants that in any town in Texas, but it's happening all over. And you might dismiss it if it's just a few people, but it's not. I'm being contacted from all over the state. There's a problem in Tarrant County. There's a problem in Harris County. There's a problem in some small towns. There's got to be a change of the standard of review, and there's got to be a change in the standard of punishment, because it looks like a slap on the wrist. People are watching, and they're seeing this is not working, guys. This system is just not working.
Thank you, Mr. Bill.
My pleasure.
All right. Our next witness is going to be Clay Sands. And just for the benefit of the witnesses, you don't see the clock, so I'm going to raise my hand up and give you a warning, not telling you to stop talking. It's about 15 seconds before. So, Mr. Sands, please go ahead.
Thank you for the panel for allowing me to speak today. I'm here to ask you a bunch of questions and to try to hold the panel accountable. You know, you're the last line of defense for people that are in my position, usually in family court, who have been outspent, have lost every dollar, and their child is paying the price for a corrupt judge, an incompetent judge, a judge that is determined to move forward, and it. And that's a good point.
We use one of y'all mics or something. You should have a fight with the mic. I came all with this. I don't want to fight with the mic.
Try that other one. See if it
works. I left this morning at 5 a.m. to be here. A family court in Texas is corrupt. And it's your job. It's your job to do something about it. I filed a complaint against one of the most corrupt judges in this state. I'm trapped in his court. My child is suffering. It took a year and a half for this panel to even consider my complaint and didn't act on it until I called and complained. And then it was resolved, and you guys did nothing after, I'm assuming, just calling his court and asking him questions to verify what my complaint was. My complaint was drastic. My court, Court 312, Court Chip Wells, who was just defeated in the primary, thank God. He uses his family court as a racket, just like the mafia. He's close family friends with my ex-wife's lawyer, and they use that court to drag me into court every year to file a charge. It's already decided before I even walk in the court. Not only do I lose whatever motion is filed against me, but I'm ordered to pay their legal fees. Because of your inaction on my complaint, the next time I was in his court, and like Mr. Dolcifino said, you guys disclose the investigation of the person that's in that court to that judge, and they're stuck going back into that court. And that's exactly what happened to me. After my complaint, and you guys took no action, although you took action against him with another complaint, and my understanding is he's had 7 complaints filed, and you've only acted on one of them, only one of them. And I was so frustrated at the corruption, and the next time I was in his court, because he doesn't care. He knows that he's not going to be held accountable. I called him corrupt. I was thinking it. I was so angry, and I verbalized it, and I didn't even realize it. And I was thrown in jail for calling him out on being corrupt, because he is. And it was your job to do something about it. I would like to ask the panel, how many actions have you taken with pro se clients that have already been bankrupted, and they can't afford to pay for the court record to submit it? Of course, cameras aren't allowed in courtrooms. I'd like to know what your feelings are on cameras in courtrooms, because cameras in courtrooms would solve a lot of this problem that pro se clients, respondents, petitioners should have access to their own court record. If they can't afford it, they should be granted it. So at least we can file complaints with evidence so you can look at that.
phones, microphones, so don't touch
no wires. Well, we're gonna do the best we can with what we got.
My name is Pam Oliver. Amy Hale is my daughter. I was in the delivery room when my granddaughter was born, and she's been the light of my life ever since. And I haven't seen her since August 2021, 14 months. For my daughter isn't allowed to be a mother, and we aren't allowed to be grandparents for absolutely no reason. Like our daughter, we have done nothing wrong to be abused and alienated from our granddaughter. All of this because of the upside-down, arbitrary, capricious ruling that they used to discredit my daughter with CPS and the police before the evidence came back. In order to keep this going, to abuse my innocent daughter and my innocent granddaughter, we have been yelled at, threatened, and silenced, not allowed to testify or even speak. This is witness intimidation. This is witness suppression. I witnessed the goo on December the 8th, 2019, that came back positive for AP and P30. Those are two components of semen. I've witnessed my granddaughter make numerous outcries, including her saying, "Daddy comes in, sings Row, Row Your Boat, and plays with my butt. Daddy likes my bathroom." She turned around, she faced me, she came back to me, right in my face, and said, "Daddy likes my bathroom. I'm scared of Daddy. I'm scared of his bed. There's a pink monster. It pokes me, hurts me, tells me not to tell Mommy." And so many more outcries. And yet we, the witnesses, and not just me, there are others, we've never been allowed to testify. And nobody does anything to protect my innocent grandbaby. How long must she endure this torture? And this is torture. Every single day for over 2 years, almost 3 years. This is a travesty and miscarriage of justice and a violation of my daughter's and my granddaughter's civil rights. Evil prevails when just men and just women fail to act. And all of those involved in this have been complicit in the abuse of my granddaughter. No investigations and the evidence ignored. I have witnessed my daughter's own attorneys abuse her, lie to her, and refuse to stand up and have covered up. And they have said they have to protect the judge. This is abuse, corruption, and organized crime. Why would the child ever be given to the suspected abuser? Why wouldn't the innocent child be given the benefit of the doubt? This could just as easily have been one of your children or your grandchildren. What would you do? Where do you go for help? Nothing will ever change until we all stand up for the truth. And that's why we're here, standing on the truth. Standing up for the truth and justice for our innocent granddaughter and our innocent daughter. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you for allowing me to be here today. My name is Aubrey Taylor. I'm the publisher of Houston Business Connections newspaper. Over the course of the last 2 years, I've been investigating fraud and corruption in Harris County. On a daily basis, I get, because of my investigations, emails from individuals who feel like their bribes taking place in court and other nefarious acts. Just last week, I sat in on a trial. I appeal to you guys today, too. We need We desperately need cameras in these courtrooms. I was the only individual sitting in a case of coercion against a public servant involving Damian Thaddeus Jones last week. I personally witnessed Judge on day one about to throw a case out. He had suppressed the warrant because the warrant did not contain a date. This is Judge, this is in the court, County Criminal Court at Law Number 5. You guys need to look into this. The judge, at the end of the day, is about to throw the case out. The judge said there was no place for the district attorneys to go with the case. There was only one piece of evidence, would have been, which was a phone that was illegally obtained with a bogus search warrant. The records will show that. The judge went on, so the judge also stood up, Judge Fleischer, and said that he's not like the other Democratic courts, that he does not operate like those courts, like some of the other courts operate. He's talking about his colleagues. This is day one. And he said that he operates by the law in his court. They skip a day, skip Wednesday. So this is Tuesday. They skip Wednesday. When we come back in on Thursday, we've got a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of thing going on. This judge is visibly shaken. I'm in the courtroom again. I'm watching the judge. Something nefarious happened in between the judge about to throw the case out, suppresses the search warrant that obtained the phone. So you got a situation where a search warrant is used against Damian Thaddeus Jones in this coercion of a public servant case. The phone records also suppressed. When you come to day three, after skipping a day, the judge then allows in video from the phone, allows in the phone data. The jury goes on to convict this guy. I believe that we're looking at a clear-cut case of where you have an individual, Damian Thaddeus Jones, who had his civil rights violated. I personally witnessed, if you guys go back and look at this.
15 seconds.
Okay. If you guys go back and take a look at this, from what I understand, I've spoken to the attorney who is downtown Oliver Brown. We call him downtown Oliver Brown. He's going to file an appeal in this case. This case needs to be looked at. What we have in Harris County right now is a kangaroo court system. We have a kangaroo court system. It's a circus over there. A circus.
Good morning. My name is John Oliver. I'm an ordained minister. I didn't set out to be an ordained minister. The Lord has brought me to this point. And I certainly didn't ever think that I would have to come before you with these kind of gravious implications. But I've never been to divorce court. My wife and I have been married for 42 years. We love our family and we love our grandparents. We loved our son-in-law until inappropriate behavior became apparent. And there was witnesses to that. And the baby was taken upon counsel to Cook's children with the counselor saying, you have given him every benefit of the doubt. It's time to give the baby the benefit of the doubt. They turned around in court. And this is the way court goes in Tarrant County, and that's the only county I'm familiar with, but I've talked to multiple lawyers. One of them with over 50 years experience said, well, it's like a cult, or it's like a clique. We get together and decide. I witnessed this in Tarrant County Family Court when the attorney for the opposing party come out of the side room and went to talk to his client. We're waiting on her lawyer to show up, and the judge come out of the same courtroom, looking back at us sitting across the hall, and gave my daughter a condemning stare, not ever met her or listened to any of her evidence. The evidence come back positive. It's been covered up. The attorneys, because there is no oversight of these judges in the courtroom, they don't go against these judges because if they do, they'll never win another case in that judge's courtroom. Some of these attorneys we've been through were personal friends with the judge and come back and told us that we could not win in her courtroom, that she was biased against my daughter. Now, these attorneys, another one said, 25 years experience, said that we usually get together and decide. We asked for an amicus, ad litem, and we didn't know the difference. We're not lawyers. We got an amicus. The amicus is a friend of the court. The amicus met one time with my daughter, and she spent two-thirds of that time talking to our family supervisor about how we should settle. Settle when you've done nothing wrong. Settle when you took your child to Cook's Children, just like the law would require you to do. And the doctor at Cook's Children called CPS and called the police. And my daughter cooperated with the investigation. However, the court managed to rule out the CPS investigation without ever talking to any witnesses or examining any evidence. Okay. Thank you, and y'all have a blessed day.
Art Smith.
My name is Art Smith, and I'm here to talk about two different situations. I want y'all to get a real good look at me because in Harris County, justice is for sale. In Harris County, the constables came out to a bogus address, evicted my wife, threw all of her things out, tens of thousands of dollars worth of printing equipment, T-shirts, and everything. This was all on the order of similar to a no-knock warrant where people have gotten killed in Harris County. LaShawn A. Williams, Civil Court and Law Number 3. The case number is 1159831. LaShawn A. Williams, at the height of COVID, said that, "I don't care if you're sleeping on the street. I don't care if you're sleeping in a box." She then turned around while this plaintiff was alive. She turned around and gave him some property and said, "I've already determined that it's his property, Mr. Schmidt." And when I told her, I said, "Well, could you look at the evidence that came from Harris County Ann Bennett saying that the 5311 Sonora Street does not exist in Harris County, Texas?" She says, "Oh, I seen that old thing you submitted as evidence. I ain't even took a look at it." I say, "Well, the lawyer is here for Robert Williams." I say, "Robert Williams is here." I say, "Could you please show my evidence that you allowed me to submit? I'm not even going to look at that. Don't bring that up in my courtroom no more." So she, you know, and then she's had, you know, some gangsters call me, some thugs call me on her behalf, give her a pass. She must was having a bad day that day. So then when they did come out and we got it all live on Facebook, then she turned back around. After they threw all my wife's things out, she go and put something on the portal talking about there was no writ of possession. So now another fake writ of possession. When they came out there six constables deep, they planted a gun, man. They left a gun behind. My wife, my son, and I, that's not our gun. They wanted me to pick that gun up so they can assassinate me. This is the truth. And I told the chief of police, I told everybody on social media, that everybody in Houston, listen, I say that they served another illegal warrant just recently. I called the chief and I told him, I say, "Over my dead body, I'm a man, not just a male." They would never come and serve a bogus warrant on an address that does not exist because it's organized crime, because Peggy Williams and Robert Williams ran a 45-year scam for they collected rent over $3 million on property they have no deeds to. So if you say, "Hey, R. Smith, can you show me the name of the person that the deeds is in, and it's not Robert Williams, it's not Peggy Williams," I can show you right today. I have it in the hotel across the street. So then you have LaTosha Lewis Payne in District Court 55. After I got tased for my wife doing a peaceful protest, my wife and I did a peaceful protest, I was locked up, tased. I was locked up for 16 days, no bond. The 30 days before we was due to go to trial, she received $1,000 from corrupt attorney Benjamin Hall, and then she dismissed our $1 million lawsuit. And we got the political contribution that came out. People are going to get killed in Harris County. We try not to take it into our own law. I don't know none of y'all. So I can't say anything. But now that I'm here before y'all, I will find out, research, homework on all of who y'all are. Because I'm not liking what I'm hearing about these folks coming here saying that y'all are just overlooking stuff. But we've gone through all type of, from the JP Court to the 14th Court of Appeals to the Texas Court of Supreme. They all corrupt. But I'm telling you right now, take a good look at my face. Because they're going to have to kill me if they ever come to that address that does not exist and try to serve another writ and evict my wife and I again.
Good morning. I represent love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. And my husband said majority of what I wanted to say, but it's another corrupt judge in Harris County, Texas, that goes by the name of Audrey Lawton Evans, Harris County Civil Court at Law Number 1. And she was appointed by the Harris County Commissioner's Court, Commissioner Rodney Ellis, Commissioner Adrian Garcia, and the Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo. She made a judgment in favor of a dead man who wasn't even present for trial. And like my husband said, this man didn't own the property when he was alive, and he didn't own the property when he died. So his wife does not own the property. And then in JP Court of the same case, another judge, Victor Trevino III, he marked on a document that Robert C. Williams was present for trial. And that trial took place in June of 2021, and Robert C. Williams died April the 15th of 2021. So it's a lot of fraud that's going on in these courts, and they're affecting people's lives. Like my husband said, evicting me, and I never had my day in court, and they put a fraud address like 5311 Sonora on 5309 Sonora, and I tried to explain to them this is not that address. So I'm here today before this committee to inform you guys of the corruption that's in Harris County, Texas, judicial misconduct, conflict of interest, paying attorneys paying the judges to dismiss cases. And we have all of this proof. And, you know, we just here to bring it to your attention. And what I want to say, we got to stop these corrupt judges. Oh, hey, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We gotta stop these corrupt judges. Oh, because it's these cliques that they have and all these court systems, and it's not helping the people. And it affects everybody, every human race. It's only one race, the human race. And
I don't do well with sitting, so I hope you allow me to stand. Is that all right?
Whatever makes you comfortable.
None of this makes me comfortable, right? It's public speaking, but I've got a clock here so I can have y'all's attention. So I'm going to read you one thing, and then I'm going to discuss it. Canon number 2, a judge shall comply with the law and should act at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence and integrity and impartiality of the judiciary. Mm-hmm. In case you haven't seen, this isn't even 1% of what's out there. Not even close. I come from Jefferson County, 317th Court. For almost one entire year, I didn't have any contact with my daughter. You want to know why? Because a judge relied on a professional, a licensed professional counselor, two, who violated not only one, but over 20 codes and ethics, not to mention the Texas Family Code, to take a child away. Not one evaluation was done. When it was brought to that person, when it was put into play and told him what happened, he doubled down to make sure that I couldn't do anything. The best thing that my father ever did to me was make sure that my nose stayed in a book. And we're from Tyler, Texas, in case you know Dayton, Texas, right? So I want to explain something. My father was fortunate to raise a son like me. You want to know why? Because I cared. I cared for the ass beatings I received for doing bad things, not telling the truth all the time, because it allows me to be a good parent today. But I sit here in front of you today with not a right to my child and no end in sight. I now have to fork over another probably $20,000+ in appeals. because the judge didn't recuse himself when he should have. Canon number 2 expressly says that. I'm at a minute 48. And instead of doing what he was supposed to do, he signed his own denial of recusal. I believe that's a violation of Rule 18. I also put my nose in the books for other things, for other people in this county that I have personally witnessed, that I personally watch on YouTube. A judge who will not be on the bench, thank God, next year. But here's the problem I got. I'm looking at all y'all, and y'all look older than me. Not to say that in a biased way, right? Or in a condescending way. But times have changed from the time that I grew up in the 80s and 90s to where we are now. And if you can't understand that the law has to change with it, or you have to uphold the law that is instilled, what are we doing? These people took time out of their day. I took time out of mine. I forfeited a day's worth of pay to be here. My daughter deserves it. And every kid does too. And if you can look me in the eye right now, and you can sit here, I got 15 seconds, and you can sit here and tell me that you're doing what you should, then I don't think that you're looking in the right mirror. Something has to change. If I had the answer, or if we all had the answer, none of us would be here. There'd be no point of a committee. But in case you haven't noticed, it's a wave. Equal share parenting was one of the things that went away. I asked for 10 seconds. Equal and shared parenting keeps dying at the feet of certain people. If you have grandkids, if you have kids, would you want to ever spend a day without them? And if you fight for them, you're aggressive. Yep. It's time to put that myth to fucking bed. Excuse my language, but it's emotional for me. I, again, can't see my daughter. Please help us. Thank you.
May I approach with a written complaint and some exhibits? This.
Just as a reminder, we're here today to receive testimony from you about concerns generally with the courts and the operations. That's fine. But we're not going to be opening new matters here. So if you have not filed a complaint with the Minister of Civil Matters, you need to make sure that you do that. We're not going to be initiating complaints.
Can you pass the pictures out?
You can hold yourself.
All right. My name is Alan Oaf. I'm from Grapevine, Texas, and I allege that Judge Federico Hinojosa has violated Canon 2A of the Judicial Code of Conduct. A judge shall comply with the law and should act at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence in the integrity and impartiality of the judiciary. The Texas Family Code, under Chapter 153, states that the public policy of Texas is to provide a safe, stable, and nonviolent environment for a child. On April the 8th, 2022, I filed a temporary restraining order for my daughter and was filed with the following information: that on February 11th, 2017, Bonnie Williams, the mother, left my daughter Avery in the car at a bar and she received deferred adjudication. CPS found reason to believe, and a court found that this was in the best interest of my daughter. In 2020, the mother's boyfriend was arrested for allegedly injuring two of his children. Testimony was given that these injuries include strangulation. CPS found reason to believe for those injuries as well. The court found that both the mother and her boyfriend was in the best interest of my daughter. The mother's boyfriend has spent 2 years in prison for drugs, and the arrest included assaults resulting in bodily injury. The neighbors called 911 for a domestic disturbance between the mother's boyfriend and her husband, which resulted in the husband being hospitalized. The husband made an additional police report at a different time for assault against the mother's boyfriend. On September 17, 2021, I found my daughter, Avery, with puncture wounds to her leg, patterns like a fork, a burn to her foot, the size of a cigarette, injuries to her wrists and ankles, consistent with being tied by plastic zip ties, and scratches to her throat, as if patterned like she had defended herself from strangulation, and many, many bruises. She was diagnosed with physical abuse suspected, at a local ER the next morning. Additionally, on September the 18th, my daughter was diagnosed with sexual abuse confirmed. My daughter has suffered additional injuries since September 17, 2022. When Judge Hinojosa received this TRO, instead of signing it, he set it for a status hearing for May 20th, 2022, which is 22 days after he set this status hearing. Due to a series of continuances, the TRO was not heard until May 19th, 2022, just under 2 months ago. At that hearing, CPS testified that sexual abuse and neglect were reported to CPS on September the 12th, just 5 days before I found my daughter's horrible injuries and 6 days before she was diagnosed with sexual abuse. So the neighbor reported sexual abuse and neglect. The judge instructed the CPS caseworker to name the person who made the report for sexual abuse, which turned out to be the neighbor. The judge's instructions violated 261.101B of the Texas Family Code by revealing the confidential information, which in turn has now endangered the neighbor. This also violates federal law titled Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act 106B2. The hearing resulted in the judge ordering me to pay the mom $2,000 rather than protecting my daughter from two people who CPS has deemed to be dangerous to children. The judge has also verbally issued me two gag orders without an evidentiary hearing, which violates my First Amendment rights. Finally, the following is evidence that Judge Hinojosa has violated Canon 2A of the Judicial Code of Conduct. The Facebook page titled Keep Avery Safe has 5,500 likes or followers. My 33-minute documentary about my daughter's abuse, neglect, and lack of safety by the courts has had over 98,000 views. The petition on change.org to give my daughter protection has almost 3,000 signatures.
Morning. My name is Tasha Monroe. I'm here to speak on the Judicial Grievance Committee. I will say that I'm fairly new to dealing with this judicial system, and I'm sure that there are many people familiar with the saying, an outcome has already been determined before the judicial hearing has even begun. Unfortunately, I've had to witness firsthand what is better known as a backdoor deal with an attorney who was able to get a hearing in 15 minutes with no notice setting. The judge that I had violated my rights with ex parte communication. I want to say thank you to all the court watchers that were able to attend via Zoom. Otherwise, I would have never known how badly I got railroaded that day. I'm making a claim today of judicial abuse to this committee because I went in trusting the judicial system. And if it was running the way that it was supposed to be ran, then I wouldn't be having to fight. And I've had to educate myself about my rights in order to defend myself against the judges that I should be able to trust. Judges that I have to trust to make my decisions, to make decisions about my life based on their discretion. Yet the same judges who are working the system every day for their own benefit. I recently learned that a judge shall comply with the law and should act at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence in the integrity of the judiciary. And now that I've educated myself, I've also learned that judges don't care about the judicial canons or the consequences that are handed down by their grievance committee because they're not truly being held accountable. Y'all are the people that are watching the people who are breaking the rules and say that you're here to hear us. But that's only to appease our emotions because there are people here who have been dealing with this corruption for years before me and my family got sucked into having to pay it or play no more than a month ago. If a judge isn't being held accountable to follow their duty to participate in establishing, maintaining, and enforcing the highest standards of conduct, then it leaves me to wonder what list of your own duties are not being enforced that's leading to all of this corruption that we the people are having to experience going through the judicial system today. It shows a lack of respect in how easily judges are capable of undermining pro se litigants, such as myself, because they know that they aren't really going to be held accountable for their actions. As of today, I have zero faith in the judicial system. Thank you.
Good I'm also going to stand. Let me set my timer real quick. I'm not as polished as these people here. My name is George Saldani. I run Texas Team 2503. I'm the founder. I've helped parents that don't have access to their children. I help parents that don't have access to their children because these judges are not doing what they're supposed to do. This falls on y'all, not these judges. This falls on all of y'all and the chair especially. When businesses go down, it's because of the CEO, because he's not controlling his managers. We have a whole bunch of taxpayers here that want accountability, that want transparency, judicial competence. Taxpayers paying salaries. And this is what we're getting. We're taking off of work coming over here to fight for our children. We're coming over every 3 years, or every 2 years, we get 3 minutes to come tell you. Y'all know about this problem. You've heard it year in and year out. And you're going to keep seeing us. The movement's getting bigger. We have more people court watching more than ever right now. In case some of y'all don't know, there was a whole bunch of people that wanted to be here today that didn't have the opportunity. One, because it was very short notice. Very short notice. Two, there was no ADA accommodations. How come we couldn't let people appear by Zoom? Here's a funny little joke. How many attorneys and judges does it take to turn on the Zoom hearings for these people that have an interest in it? We have judges that are excluding the public from their own courts. Our money is paying the OCA to give these Zoom hearings to judges, giving them instructions how to use YouTube. And these judges are singling us out, retaliating against us for watching their judicial hearings. All these taxpayers here are paying for it. And we don't even have access to our Zooms. We don't have access to our children. This is redundant. We're coming back. We're going to be here in another 2 years having the same spiel. Same spiel. If this was your kids, if this was your grandkids, right, y'all would come and look for me to help. I'm proud of every one of these people that are here. Because with little time, they were able to suck it up and be here so they can approach you to tell you what you guys already know. I have a sad story, but I don't care to go into it because the grievance committee has already had it for 11 months. They have not interviewed one of my witnesses. I've had 30. I was held in contempt by my judge for asserting my rights, for trying to create a record for an appeal. I had bailiffs escort me out, all because of what? I wanted to see my child. Because I'm reading just like Cody Taylor is. I'm learning the law. Nobody follows your judicial canons. Nobody. They're not competent in the law. We all have a cell phone. Every judge has a computer that the taxpayer pays for. They can easily look it up. They have every resource. And they still violate. And when y'all don't do anything, y'all enable them. And I want to thank you for your time, but this is complete BS. Y'all have the power to correct this, even the grievance committee. And if y'all don't, expect us to be here in 2 more years with a bigger crowd. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I can't hear very well. Okay. So yes, my name is Brian Hennessy, and I'm under great risk by even coming here for retaliation from a particular judge. Sadly, we seem to be under the delusion that coming here and having our impassioned pleas is going to have any effect. You people were put on your positions to protect the judges and protect the system from the people, not to protect the people from the behavior of the judge. When you have received these complaints, and some of the complaints are pretty horrific, there was even a judge who instructed a jury essentially to not find the person guilty in a sexual assault of a child case. That came before you, and you let him stay on the bench. That's just insane. That has become a stain on your own personal names. The problem with one of the issues that I heard bantered around is cameras in the courtroom. Cameras in the courtroom will vastly improve the quality of the judicial proceedings, vastly, because when they can be shown to what they're doing, they won't do that. But that issue, I believe, has already been settled by the district court and the Supreme Court, that recording public officials in the performance of their duties is a protected First Amendment right. Multiple districts or multiple circuit judges have already said that you can record any public official. There was no carve out for judges. There was no carve out for any public official in the performance of their duties. Clearly, in the courtroom, that is performance of their duties, and that is a public place. We now have judges intimidating individuals, requiring them to give their driver's license and name if they're going to sit in a courtroom. That's a Fourth Amendment issue. That's so that they can retaliate against them if they find out that there was a recording that leaks out of their poor behavior. I'll give you a quick one that happened with me. And this is very emotional for me. This is one of the reasons why it really bothers me. Recently, I had a property case, and the other counsel brought in stuff about retirements. And I simply said, Your Honor, this wasn't pled for. This is John B. McMasters, County Court at Law, Williamson County, number 4. He's been through the mentorship program, I believe, 3 times now. And he continues to behave in bad ways for what he's already been through mentorship on. He says to me, quote, and I'm going to use the same thing he did, You don't control this courtroom. I do. Sit down! Should I be treated that way? Would you like to be treated that way? In the end, you heard all of their pleadings about the military retirements. And in the end, he ordered me and gave me 10 days to navigate the entire VA system or go to jail. And in that order, it requires me to write a narrative of being raped in a combat zone. I had to sit at Christmas without my children and write the story about what happened to me because you guys won't take care of him. Do you understand what that is? Was that John's invitation to me to join the 22? Do you know what that means? There are 22 of veterans a day that are committing suicide. The pressures that we go through. He ordered me to file for combat-related specialty compensation, bragging about how smart he was about military retirements. The order he made is absolutely insane. He ordered me to fill out forms that don't even exist. Forms that don't exist, or I could go to jail. Then I'm supposed to turn this narrative over to my ex-wife while we're in a custody dispute with our children so that she can use that instance and the things that has happened to me afterwards against me in the custody case, and it's been condoned by this group here.
Thank you. William O'Dell.
I apologize for making my appearance so late. I ended up changing my mind. We put our faith in our judicial system, and we expect it to be handled with decorum, respect. No, that's not the case at all, especially McLennan County. It's known. I have had people who fled Texas telling me that McLennan County is the good old boy county, where the courts take care of themselves. I don't see any care up here, honestly. How many times do I have to prove my innocence to my county that I love my children? I lost my rights. My wife lost her rights. I'm facing criminal charges after I've already proven my innocence. Not of just physical abuse, but sexual abuse. That was allegations placed on me by a mother-in-law who wanted our children and hates my guts. Why? Because I stick up for this woman right here. Her own daughter, she defamed in court. The judge allowed it. The judge ignored our child's outcry. This should not be tolerated. But I know it's not cared for in here. Just seconds ago, I'm sitting right there. And I'm sorry, Your Honor. I caught you doodling. Is this how we get treated? Is this what we should expect? To defend ourselves against an awesome superpower that doesn't care about its constituents? That we fight to talk to senators, congressmen, just to get turned back? From what I understand, when I grew up in Las Vegas and moved out here in 2019, I was raised that this America is for the people, by the people. We pay you, and you fail us. Every day, there's 40,000 children in the foster care system. And what are these judges doing?
Putting more in.
Cashing out on it. I follow the Title IV. I know CPS is a $53 billion industry in the U.S., and Texas just got approved for $4.4 billion of it. That's disgusting. We need more cameras in these courtrooms. We need court watchers. We need accountability of these judges. And first and foremost in my county, Nikki Minkowski needs to be kicked out, because if it wasn't for her, I would not be facing these charges right now. She had a chance to stop it, and she failed. Please, for the love of God and your country, do your job, investigate these judges, and stop this corruption now.
Remember their faces.
Linda Nuno.
Let's go.
My name is Linda Nuno. I'm running for Congress District 10. I have heard thousands upon thousands of stories like this. The reality is that none of you have done your job. And there is a legal fact. Crimes against humanity do not expire. Unfortunately, I was placed in this position because, just like many thousands of them, I've been neglected, abused, and raped by the system. In my particular case, a federal judge impregnated me back in 2013, and he just pulled the strings so my daughter, our daughter, was given to a pedophile that works for the city of Austin. I don't know what's going to take, and if you pay attention to the last person that was sitting in this chair, that wasn't a threat. It seems like we are here to defend for ourselves. You have an average of 38,000 cases a year. One of these parents, one, is going to snap and do what none of you have done. The reality is that I didn't came to talk to you just to put another complaint that never goes anywhere. Anywhere. We have impeached Judge Shulak. Orlinda Naranjo recused herself from the case. I was able to push Laura Livingston to force into retirement. How many kids have died because of these judges? Because Ben Harding was able to impregnate people left and right. My child is not the only love child that he has out there. My daughter is sexually assaulted every day. I'm trying to do the right thing. I didn't come to talk to you. The reality is that I came to talk to every single one of you. Every single one of you. In the 38,000 cases that go through courts every day, these people don't give a fuck. You need to run You need to run for office. I need state representatives to pass laws to take judicial impunity out of the fucking table. I'm done. I need you to walk the distance for your children. Fuck you very much.
I'm here because my grandson, he was abused. Since he was a child, he had mental issues. He was abused for the system. He never got help. They told that he had a gun. He spent 14 months in jail, okay, for doing nothing. We have proof. We had a video from school that he don't have anything. But the system never helped us. Because he's black. I don't know. That's the issue. He's black. It's not helping because he was with another people. And they are white, they're outside. He was there for 40 months. I don't have too much to say. I have a lot in Spanish, but in English, I don't have too much to say. But I hope people do understand. I'm a grandmother. It hurt me a lot, okay? It hurt me. I have 5 grandchildren, 3, and I have my son and 2 daughters, okay? But I need people help. We need help from people. Don't just say, stay there, listen to us, and just like you smile. Because you think we are lying. No, we are not lying. We are hurt because people, they don't listen to us. My son, the police went to grab him without a warrant, without anything. That's abuse, what they do. They're using their power to do whatever they want to do because they got power. And that's not, I think they can be from Mexico. They can do whatever they want, but not here in the United States. Like they said, we pay taxes. We do everything what we can to work. We come from Mexico to work, whatever we can. But we need help from you people. If you don't want to see people, kids outside the streets running with guns and everything, help us. Help, we need it. Thank you.
Dave Parker.
Greetings. Unlike a lot of folks, I don't actually have anything prepared because I only had 6 days' notice, and I want to share with you what took place last week. My daughter, 10-4. Joanne Nixa from the ICJ in Rhode Island spent 4 minutes outlining very specific things that were to take place for my daughter, Rebecca Parker, date of birth 3-12-06. She's a 16-and-a-half-year-old girl who has committed no crime. All she's done is reported negligence and abuse at her mom's house, and she does not want to return. Rhode Island manipulated the system, shifting things from family court to juvenile court so that they could file what a very rare requisition order. We went before Judge Matthews and the 277th District, and Rebecca's public attorney was Sean Fifield. They did absolutely nothing, including enforce Rebecca's due process. She was literally just rubber-stamped and taken into custody. She has reported mental abuse, mental anguish. She is not being fed properly in accordance with $3,000 worth of genetic tests and doctor's reports. Her mother does not care. She did not want to go back last year, made her go back. This year, she drew a line in the sand, and she was railroaded. As of the 6th, she has been in juvenile detention under suicide watch for 6 days because Judge Matthews and Sean Fifield could not roll up their sleeves and punch in and go to work. We were not afforded an opportunity to present our case. My daughter had an entire binder of evidence and notes that she wanted to speak to. She was dragged out of that court screaming and crying that nobody's listening to me, and this has been a 12-year battle. I see people here. Some of you are attentive. Some of you looking back and forth like you're probably missing a golf course. Somebody over here was called out on doodling. I'm here now angry. I'm frustrated. My daughter committed no crime, and she is in juvenile detention right now for the first time in her life in a cell in prison scrubs. I just put in my notice at work. I quit. I am now giving everybody my full, undivided attention, both in Rhode Island and here. I am telling you right now, starting this week, starting tomorrow, I am going to be at that courthouse. I am going to be getting the transcripts to show that her due process was violated and that nobody cares. I'm going to be there protesting every single day. Judge Stacey Matthews' career is over. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure she is removed from that bench. Sean Fifield will never have public office. I have just data dumped 12 years worth of text messages, recordings, police reports, everything that I have experienced with this case in Rhode Island now being handled the exact same way here in Texas. I did not flee New England to come to Texas to experience New England all over again. I expected better from the people here. I expected better from my daughter who is being abused. I'm done. I can't count on them up there, and apparently we can't count on any of you down here. We're growing. He's right. I don't know who he is. I don't think I know him. But we're growing, and I'm going to show every single person outside of that courtroom who comes up to me, who asks me what the heck's going on, why do I have such an incendiary sign, I'm going to show them all of the evidence this judge couldn't be bothered to look at. Every precedent, every progressive movement that we've made, everything where we have evolved and become a better society and community started with one person saying, hey, something here is not right. They rolled their sleeves up and they went to work. This judge rubber stamped it. She couldn't do a damn thing for my kid. So now she's being extradited back to Rhode Island, where she was potentially going to be put back into the house with her mother, where she even told the judge that she's going to kill herself. She's going to go out back. She's going to jump off the bridge into the river. And the judge didn't care. You look nice, miss. Take her away. 277th Court, Judge Stacy Matthews. We were denied due process. My daughter was denied due process by the ICJ. I have the recording. If I had more than 3 minutes, I would play it for you. It was not done. This kid has done nothing. Everybody at the Georgetown Juvenile Facility, they don't understand why the hell she's there. She's not a criminal. All she did was not return back to her mom's house because of the stuff that she's reporting.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We have heard you all. For those of you who are gracious enough to be professional and polite, we appreciate that very much. We will take everything you've offered to us under advisement. We will now heard and we'll conclude the hearing here today. As a reminder, again, if you have a complaint about a particular judge, please make sure that you have gotten that to us in a manner in which we can act on it to our staff. If we have already looked at it, you could ask us for reconsideration under our rules. But we are not taking new cases orally here today. So if you've said something here today and expect us to act on it, we're not creating new files here today. Okay? So please make sure you file the case if you want a case to be processed. And with that, we will.
I mean, are y'all going to do anything for the public? I mean, every 2 years, 3 minutes does nothing. Can we do something quarterly, semi-annually, because there's a huge disconnect between the judiciary and the public. I mean, is there room in the budget for us to get a meeting quarterly?
We are now adjourned. I will tell you that you have a legislature who has a role in all of this. We are here to enforce the canons. We have a statute that tells us when we're to publicly meet.
It's less than 10% that y'all enforce the can.
Okay, let's do this.
I'm hoping to start showing up their houses.
Person in here, let's keep track of
all right,
now
we need five peaceful protests.
We can go to their house and have an protesting in court.
I'm not going to do it. Five different peaceful protests. At one time, we was out there with 43 different individuals with signs talking about those three corrupt judges. All I'm saying is the new no not warrant to have officers to go to the house of people and have them killed is being ordered through these corrupt judges. Justice is for sale in Harris County, Texas. If y'all are in that position to stop it, man, I hope that y'all take our time to go back and look at every word that was said here today. Because my wife and I, we have a target on our backs that's coming from judges, elected officials. Well, thank y'all for your time.
Thank you all for hearing us today.
Excuse me, can I see your picture for the group?
It's my notes.
It doesn't look like notes, it looks like drawings.